KC2WI.
KD2JWC is on frequency.
Okay, I don't hear anybody else, so I'm going to pick up the net. And this is KC2WI. This is the Black River Valley Service Net. This net meets nightly at 9 p.m. on the Boonville Amateur Radio Club repeater 146.655. Repeater is located in Jackson Hill, southwest of Boonville. This is an informal net. Any and all amateurs are welcome to check in with or without traffic. Emergency traffic has priority at all times. Can break the net at any time. I'll take a short standby for any emergency traffic. Over. Okay, nothing heard. This is KC2WI. This is a Black River Valley service net. And the Boonville Amateur Radio Club is not going to be meeting in February or March. And next meeting is in April 3rd, Tuesday. I don't know what the date is without looking it up. Meetings are always the third Tuesday. It's at Dodge Pratt North of Martin Community Center in Boonville. And more information can be found on the club website, BoonvilleARC.com. Net preamble and format's also available on the club website if anybody wants to pick up the net and follow the scripted preamble. This is KC2WI, and we're going to look for portable battery-powered or mobile stations first. Over. Okay, none heard. Do we have any Echolink stations? Over.
This is Kilo Delta 2 Foxtrot Papa Mike. Kevin James checking in through the Echolink system. Hopefully I'm making it in here, Pete, because the internet's been acting a little flaky with Echolink, and there is one more station behind me.
Yeah, you sound good. Other Echolink stations, over.
This is Kilo Delta 2 Juliet Whiskey Charlie, Matt Noniana checking in by Echolink. I'm the last one on the queue.
Hi, Roger, KD2JWC, so back up to the top, KD2FPM, go ahead.
All right, Pete, hey, good evening. It does seem to be working better here. This is KD2FPM out here in Oneonta. I know it was on the Lowville net earlier, and boy, I'll tell you, the internet was really screwing us up on Echolink. It was like mixing and matching packets all over the place. It just sounded weird, so... glad to hear that we're actually sounding better, and in fact, my Echolink here is responding much better at this point. At 23 degrees with some clouds overhead outside, only 6/10 of an inch of snow here that I would measure today. Want to reemphasize the Norwich, New York repeater is up in better than ever, bigger, better footprint, 146.685 megahertz with a negative offset. The PL is 110.9 hertz. They've got people jumping in there in places they weren't able to get in before, so that is really cool. And like I say, I can sit here at my base station at my house, and I'm getting in there no problem now, so that's really neat. So I won't tie the repeater down. I will say 7-3. I'll hang out and listen. KD2FPM, back to net control.
Okay, on the Norwich repeater, I might try that from here, but I kind of doubt it. So we'll see what happens. Maybe after the net, I'll turn around. 82JWC, this is KC2WI, over.
Evening, P, everyone up in the North Country. Everyone listening. Currently showing 23 degrees with an 18-degree wind chill. about close to Kevin. Sitting here working on paperwork again and was able to check in on the net and was going to be here just in case if I was needed. So, and working on trying to find the fire department another truck, trying to replace one of our first responders vehicle, which is a Suburban, and trying to replace our rescue that we ended up getting rid of about a year, year and a half ago because it was past its point of being in service. But just kind of working on a few things here. Hope everything's going well for everyone. I'll say 7-3 to everybody and hand it back to Net Control. This is KD2JWC.
Okay, Matt, very good. Well, like everything else, the people that are volunteering put in an awful lot of time. I think the fire department gets pretty reasonably good recognition, but boy, a lot of volunteers don't really. Maybe not even the fire department. Well, it's a lot of work, and you spend your own money to help other people, which is okay to a point, but got to appreciate all the volunteers for that kind of stuff. This is KC2WI, and this is the Black River Valley Service Net, and we'll now take call from anyone, anywhere. It's encouraged to check in regular members and guests, fixed, portable, mobile, whatever. Over.
M2PFM, good evening, Pete.
N2PFM, anyone else?
WATU.
Okay, N2PFM. I got to write in certain places. I have these great pens that I got, you know, for business promotion. They're really, really nice. Except when they don't write certain coatings on paper or whatever. Probably a lot of pens wouldn't write the same thing, but on a, you know, nice clean paper, boy, they're really nice. But it's frustrating when they skip or they just don't write. Just can't write. Take some other piece of paper and write on another piece. It's perfect. Anyway. Well, George, I don't think you made too much solar power today, maybe a little bit, but it was a little warmer than I thought it was going to be, actually. I didn't get out till later because it was snowing hard in the morning. I didn't want to drive in at night. I wasted quite a bit of time fooling around inside instead of going down, getting stuff done, and getting back so I could work outside, but be that as it may, I guess you'll get the fire going pretty good this weekend. Over.
Yes, good evening, Pete, and everybody else on the net. That's for certain. Well, we had less than an inch of snow today. We're supposed to get 3 to 5 and another 1 to 3 tonight. And that advisory is off now, and they said there's a watch for Jefferson County there for southwest winds for I think 8 to 12. For tomorrow night into Thursday night, is what they're saying now. So I'll get everything ready here. The guys went did some wash today and plugged in the heat tape and got the power over on the NIMO power because the batteries would have run down too much. And if I leave it on there, that's 70 watts burning continuously. So for, at night, that's going to mess me all up with the solar power. So. Everything's on NIMO right now, unless the power goes out, then with the flashlight, just plug the thing in and get some lights back with the solar power. It's up to about 12.8 volts right now, as I had it on charge there all day today, with nothing on it, no solar power running there where I had it still there in the NIMO power, so it'll work for probably overnight and into tomorrow if the power were to go out. That's about that there, and got my retrieved my 52525 crystals from the wrong, from the wrong channel elements, going to solder in the right elements tomorrow and put one of those GE custom MVPs, low van ones, on 6 meters. So with that, we'll say God bless. Temperature today, sorry, was 20 degrees. 20 degrees right now. The temperature range today was 20 to 33. And we're getting ready for it to go down to single digits or lower tonight. And I think Saturday night to Sunday is supposed to be the worst. So we'll see what happens. God bless, 73s. I got loads of wood and everything ready. And 2 PSM clear.
We didn't have much. Yeah, there's maybe an inch of snow total from yesterday morning here. Not very much here either, and it's 20 here, and the high was 33 here. 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight, the National Weather Service says. Less than an inch tomorrow, but cold, 12 degrees, and apparently it's going to be colder tomorrow night, but warmer Friday than it will be tomorrow. 20 degrees Friday and 12 tomorrow. And then Friday night, low minus 8. And Saturday's high is minus 6, according to the current thing. And holy cow, minus 21 low for Saturday night, and a high of 2, which is, I guess, better than minus 6. But minus 21 degrees, wow. And that's not a good thing with no snow on the ground. I guess there's some people are going to have frozen water pipes and stuff if they're not buried too low, you know, if they're not down as far as they should be. But freeze problems with no very little insulating snow. Well, we'll see what happens, George and everyone. And this is KC2WI, and next up is WA2U. Over.
Hey, good evening, WA2U. Good evening to you, Pete, and George, Kevin James, and Matt, and the multitude of listeners. Not sure what the temperature, I think it said 21, but we're usually cooler than that. I think some RF gets into the electronic temperature gauge here. It was reading 1, and I know that's not true. But anyways, had a good day. Yes, the ongoing preparedness, having enough wood, which we have a lot of. And let's see, I had the fuel tank filled up today, so that's good for, 300 gallons of fuel, so we're all set there. And what else is going on? I did bring the Optimum battery into camp last Saturday, and we were going to have a party this coming Saturday, but that has been postponed a week. And you're right, obviously because of the temperatures, anybody's got a trailer, they got to watch out for these temperatures, unless, you know, there's an advantage to that snow. Even when it's on your roof, it acts as a nice little insulator and keeps things warm, so we have no snow on our roof. But it's nice and warm and cozy in the house here. I don't know, we probably got 2 or 3 inches of snow. We went out and shoveled around the mailbox and shoveled a path out, so make it a little bit easier for either FedEx or UPS, which has a they usually leave here. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. So, got our stuff out by the road today, and they picked that up, and what else? Didn't do a whole lot. I got on the internet, worked on a few projects, I guess, here in the shop, and I had some ammo I finally sorted out here on the table. It's been there for a while, so Kathy helped me sort that out. You look at numbers, you see numbers over and over again. So I got that all put away, and I got some stuff ready to go into camp. I got my charger and some stuff that's going to go into camp. It's just kind of organizing things. Worked out in our gym today. We're trying to get back into... We had a really ongoing routine when we lived in Clay, where we'd work out every single entire day. And we've yet we've got a ways to go before we get up to the full 50 minutes. We used to do 45 minutes workout, 5 minutes cool down. I think today we both did a half hour, 25. I did 7 miles on the elliptical in like 25 minutes, and I've done a lot better than that before, and Kathy did the aerodyne. We've got enough equipment so we can both bother each other and say, well, let's go and we'll do a little bit. Tomorrow's, we usually go between aerobics and weightlifting, but we have enough equipment out in the gym. Used to be our foyer, I was kidding. I said, well, now it's no longer the foyer. It's the gym. That's okay. It's right here. We don't have to pay for any membership. I'd rather, and I did this about a week ago, I'd rather take a 3 or 4 mile walk down the road or up the road or around the lake than on the equipment. But when the weather's bad, you've got plan B. And we've got a stereo out there, so it's nice. We don't have to worry about going to a gym and everything. People don't bother wiping the equipment down and all the nonsense. And, you know, it's a petri dish waiting to happen. So this way we keep it all nice and clean. So, yeah, Kathy's watching something on the TV. And, yeah, it'll be real interesting this weekend. You bring up a really good point, though. Without the coverage, the blanket out there, I know especially people with trailers. Oh, we had a few people at work that ran into all kinds of problems when the temperatures would drop like that. Without the snow around them to keep things, it could get cold, but that helped a lot with the wind and things. WATU, back to net.
Yep, okay, John. I'm looking at a web page here about making a APRS, it's a KISS TNC with a Arduino and just a few parts, and you could use it for APRS or whatever, and I might do that. I got to start playing with these microcontrollers and doing some programming and things like that because I need to expand my technical skill set. Maybe end up being able to make some money off of this stuff because the computer service business is changing. Let's put it that way. The market is changing. The people are. A lot of people are not, businesses are still using computers, but a lot of business people are using their smartphones more than anything else, obviously not necessarily not for, you know, accounting and stuff like that, but anyway, there's more and more kids out there that know about computers that are good enough to get into the business and siphoning some of it off and so on and so forth. So this stuff is fun. If I've been saying for years I want to build some little microcontroller project, and this looks like a good time. Of course, I'm just going to about get into it, and the weather is going to break, and it'll start to be real nice. I won't want to sit inside, but I got to get going on it because we got a month or so, and it's never going to be, we're never going to have good winter here, I think, snow-wise. I think if we have it, we'll have it for a week or two, you know, we'll get another warm-up. And by the middle of March, even if we do get some cold weather and big snow, it's just not going to last very long. I think maybe it was 2012, we had a somewhat open year. It wasn't just like this, but it still wasn't that great, and we had some really good snow around the end of February, and I did a lot of riding up in Lake Pleasant, and then something like 2 weeks later, it was pretty much all done. So I expect that's going to happen now if we ever do get any riding. You go up the trail up the top of Tug Hill and ride around, but I'm not going to bother. So this is KC2WI, and this is the Black River Valley Service Net, and we're looking for additional check-ins. Over.
Kilo, good evening.
Okay, I got into KKL and then another station which was right in the noise, not copyable by me anyway. Try it again. Yeah, I kind of thought that was you, Randy. You're really, you're right in the noise. You're not really quieting very much. We'll try, but it's going to depend a lot on the characteristics of people's speakers, I think, whether you can hear or whether you can copy or not. N2KKL, Pauline, over.
Roger that. Yeah, it's supposed to get really cold tonight here, but I don't think we'll get much snow. So good evening all, and everybody have a good evening and a good day tomorrow. 7-3 and God bless. And to KKL, back to you, Pete.
Okay, Pauline, 7-3 to you, and have a good evening, and keep warm this weekend. This is KC2WI, and we'll turn it over to KC2OJU. Over. I don't know how long you were talking, but we got a few words, and then you dropped out, and then we caught a couple more words, and then you dropped out again, so your signal's just a little too marginal to get in. If you want to come in on Echolink, you could do that through the KD2AIT link, but you didn't really hold it. This is KC2WI, this is the Black River Valley Service Net, and we're looking for additional check-ins. Over. This is KC2WI, this is the Black River Valley Service Net, looking for check-ins. Over. I think that was KC2NBU, but you're really noisy as well into the repeater, so go ahead.
Yeah, try a different radio. It's snowing big time here. We got huge flakes. We probably got 3-4 inches in the past couple hours. It's like fluffy stuff, but it's coming down pretty good.
I'm assuming you dropped it there. Unless I turn some light on there, but I don't think it's snowing here. And I think from what I saw on the weather maps, Syracuse, Utica down that way is going to get more snow than here. So, you know, maybe Boonville's going to get more snow than Glenfield. I don't know. I think it's sort of that direction. So you may be just getting something from being on the hill there. I think it's one of those deals where it's going to be different places, not that far apart, will have totally different amounts of snow. This is KC2WI. This is the Black River Valley Service Net, and we're looking for additional check-ins. Over. Well, I was on the top band, single sideband that there on 160 meters, 1945 at 8:30 to 9 o'clock with Jim, KC2VMF, and people from around the area, around the state. And boy, the signals were all pretty good. My noise level was like S9, and I hooked up my TimeWave ANC4 antenna noise canceller. It's basically a phasing deal where you got a noise antenna that that's a low local small antenna tries to pick up the local noise without picking up the sky wave. And then you adjust the gain and the phase of that thing, and you basically invert it 180 degrees from what the big antenna's picking up, and I got a few dB of noise reduction, and boy, it really didn't matter that much because everybody was really strong. S9 plus, which is a little surprising. So that was kind of nice, and then flipped over to this net. And I think I mentioned this the other night, talking with a couple guys up here, Luke, 82IOU, and Sean out in Syracuse, who's a member of the Black River Valley Club as well. And I was talking to him on Echolink, and we're sort of tossing the idea around of maybe doing a field day this year. I think it might be a pretty good thing, get some of the newer hams and maybe some of the older hams that have not been too active out, maybe get the public out to kind of see what goes on, get maybe somebody to do digital. I can do it, but I'm not real keen on it. I do it for message handling. But boy, that if you find some younger people who are more in tune with the internet and computer stuff, you really could pick up on that. That's quite a challenge, I think, during in a contest mode. So we might may do something there. Keep it in mind. And if anybody's who's not a ham and scanner listeners that are interested, everybody's welcome to come to that. It's a great way to find out what's going on and see all kinds of neat stuff. This is KC2WI. This is the Black River Valley ServiceNet looking for additional check-ins. Over. KC2WI will make this the last call for check-ins or any questions or comments. Over.
WATU, comments?
WA2U, over.
Yeah, okay, P, very good. Good to hear Pauline. It's always good to hear the other station was checking in. I forgot his call. Apologize for that, but always good to hear some new people. Yeah, field day, I know Salt City DX, I guess, I don't think they're around lately, at least not in the way that I remember them, but I remember going to field day, and they had a number of computers all set up in a network so that they were, if I logged a station, somebody else over in another system was able to see it on their computer. It was pretty sophisticated. It was kind of neat the way the whole thing ran, and they had different generators, so if one generator went down, the network didn't go down. It was, pretty sophisticated setup, but you can certainly have a lot of fun with that. It's a good learning experience for the public. I just had a comment for, and they're having a neat meeting. If anyone just feels like driving tomorrow in the Syracuse area, the Radio Amateurs of the Greater Syracuse, they're having a meeting out in the North Syracuse area. You could probably find out on 147.300 with a plus offset and 67 hertz tone. That's real easy to find. It's the first one usually on most of these radios. And they're going to talk about using Anderson power poles and how to put them on the end of cables and the advantages and the standardization of the Anderson power pole scheme. A lot of people use them, but there is a certain agreed upon way so that if you went to an emergency setup, you theoretically could plug your, everything in this house has, the TAM has emergency power poles. In fact, they have them actually on the receiver out in the gym now. If I want to plug the speakers, I use Anderson power poles. Anyways, so that sounds like a cool meeting to go to. And I was kind of surprised Matt mentioned 110.9 hertz for the Norwich repeater and 146.685 with a minus offset. If people pick up the repeater directory, you'll notice a lot, it's not cast in granite, as they say, but a lot of the PL tones are regionalized. And 110.9, when I heard that, immediately I thought of Rochester, because 99.9% of their repeaters are out there on 110.9, which I've investigated. There is also a repeater on 146.685 in out there in, I'm trying to think now, I was going to say Canastota, but it's out west of Syracuse, SOTUS, New York. So I don't know if that is 110.9, but that'd be interesting if two repeaters of the same PL. But anyways, so 110.9, we'll have to listen to 146.685 to see what happens there. But I didn't write these things down, but I have a comment about the repeater, about the networking. Oh, and the Arduino controller. If you get some old copies of Wired, get some old magazines of Wired, even two or three years ago, people were taking these things and putting them in the little boxes. They were controlling their whole, this one guy had, he was controlling his furnace, his light sensors, he had a, you know, it's amazing what you can do with these little bitty controllers. I know they had the Raspberry Pi up there too, but this Arduino was kind of really neat. It was in a magazine called Wired, and I don't know if it's online, but anyway, thanks for doing that, Pete. I'll toss it back over to you and say good evening to everyone. WATU, listening.
Yeah, I've never used any of these little microcontroller thingies. I mean, I think it's been about 20 years when you started seeing them talking about the basic stamp, which is a early, you know, PIC, a little thingy. And I always said, oh, I ought to get one. I ought to do something. And I never really had a need to do anything with it, you know. And, you know, it's like, well, I should get this. Well, what would I do with it? You know, the standard thing, you have a couple LEDs and a couple switches or, maybe a photo cell, a light sensor, whatever, and you make some little do-nothing programs, you know, make it blink LEDs, whatever, to learn the programming, and I could have done that, but I never did it. But I got a pile of things here that I keep thinking about, and I'm, like I said, I'm looking to learn some new techie stuff. I've been sort of, you know, focused on the one sort of aspect of stuff, mostly Windows stuff and networking and that. And I'm looking to do some other things, partly just for the sake of doing techie things. And of course, the slow winter has really got me thinking about it. Like I say, it's middle of February, so pretty soon I'll be wanting to go outside because the weather's nice. But I think I'm gonna try and, you know, clean up the workshop and start doing a little bit of that stuff when it's on the rainy days and that. And since I don't have a cable TV and I don't have satellite TV and I don't want them, there's not a lot of time wasted there. Of course, I do have Netflix, so, you know, you could watch that forever. But, I've almost bought a Raspberry Pi last year to set up with a Raspberry Pi and a DV3000 and two D-Star. I ended up buying the USB, what they call thumb DV, and then that was last spring, and then the weather got nice and it sat. I haven't done thing with it. And that's not very hard at all. That's a matter of sitting down at a computer, plugging the thing in, getting the WinDV software, doing a little configuring and, you know, routing through the firewall and whatever, the router, port forwarding, and then you pretend, basically you're pretending you're a D-Star repeater, but you sit there with your computer with a speaker and microphone, connect to a D-Star node as if you were connecting, you know, through with your HT through your D-Star repeater to some other D-Star repeater. And I thought that was it. The thing cost $120. And potentially could do P25 and everything else if the appropriate software and if for the P25, DMR, you know, it could do DMR if the Motorola Amateur Radio Club, the DMR Mark network would allow a computer to connect in. You basically could be on the DMR, worldwide DMR network, but last I knew that they weren't really interested in allowing that. But there's all kinds of stuff, so I don't know what to pick first, but, you know. Field day, yeah. Well, Lark used to do field day. We used to do it up at the scout camp up there. I think it was in Cleveland or north of Cleveland, north side of Oneida Lake. I remember doing a couple of them up there. Then I think they moved over to the park there in Baldwinsville. It was a park, and we did it in the park. I don't know if I ever did it with them in the park. I know I went to one or two of them. And they did it in the park, and the scouts did something there, so they kind of did it in conjunction, and it was a little more public. But I never went to any of the other ones out there. I was only a member of LARC. And then we did it with the Hamilton County, or it was called the Speculator Amateur Radio Club for a few years, but it turned out there was about three of us doing it all, and not really a club effort, so after a while we kind of quit with that. But it'd be nice to do one around here and, you know, talk it up big time, publicize it in the papers and Facebook and all that kind of stuff, and see what happens. This is KC2WI. Is there any station on frequency that has any traffic for Octane? Okay, no one here has any traffic. Do you have traffic for any station on this net? Over.
No, we don't. Just like to invite, if there are any stations who'd like to check in with or without traffic, if they would like to jump in now with their call sign.
Well, you can wait till we close the Black River Valley service net, and then you can make a call up. This is KC2WI. Do we have any other comments or check-ins for this net? Over.
WA2U.
WA2U, go.
Good to hear W2JUV. I haven't heard him in a while, and Pete's probably got you on the list there. I could see you, Pete, with a... I could see you with a programmer programming ICs or something, but that was a big thing back in the day. People were doing that for the, for the early repeaters, getting the IDs and the beats and things. So probably in your arsenal of equipment and different things you have, you probably got a programmer. But the field days, that kind of stuff does sneak up on you fast. And it's all not about height, because I remember when Salt City Jets had their, they were one year, they were up in the clouds. And the ground conditions where they were was absolutely poor. So I think this is certainly one of the considerations. It's more space than it is height, I think. I guess unless you're looking at, you know, UHF, VHF contest. So again, good here in W2JUV, and thanks for joining us on the Black River Valley ServiceNet. Pete, I'll turn it back over to you, and listen, maybe there'll be some other additional check-ins. W2 back to net.
Okay, John, very good. The height is not necessarily, unless you're really trying to do VHF, UHF, you know, line of sight stuff. But the great thing about it is it's a learning experience, especially for the newer hams or the guys that are not, maybe they're only technicians, so they really don't have the HF experience yet. So keep it in mind. This is KC2WI. This is the Black River Valley Service Net. We're looking for additional check-ins or any comments. Over.
W2WKD.
W2WKD. Go ahead.
Dave in Whitesville, just thought I'd check in with you fellas. I missed what you were discussing. Were you discussing a field day or a ham fest?
This is KC2WI. I was putting out the suggestion or the possibility of doing a field day here in the Black River Valley. A few people in the Black River Valley Amateur Radio Club have expressed an interest, and you know, maybe a few people in the Boonville Club would be interested. We've talked about it at meetings, and you know, there's never been enough interest, but I think we've got some new hams and whatever. I've gone up to Long Lake for the past, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. It's a nice group up there, and it's a really nice spot up at the Mount Sebattis Pavilion, the park up there. Overlooks the lake. It's beautiful. And before that, I've gone out to the Thousand Islands Club. Well, when I went out there, we did it out at the Tibbetts Point Lighthouse in Cape Vincent, but they've moved that over. They've been doing it at Clayton. I haven't been out there to see it. I've seen the pictures. They do a real nice job over.
Oh, Roger. Well, the only comment I was going to suggest was that if you're going to do a field day and you'd like to try to maximize the number of people that come, you may want to mix it up with a ham fest.
Yeah, the only problem with that is it's a lot of work. And, you know, if you had a really active club with a lot of people where you could do both things at once, that would work. But my experience mostly with field days is that, you know, you got enough busyness setting things up and all that. We have, you know, sometimes people bring stuff that, you know, they want to sell or trade. We've done that at Long Lake, and we also did that with a Northern New York Amateur Radio Association meeting up there. We coupled that with a little mini swap fest, and that works really good. Over.
Yeah, no, not a problem. No, that is a problem these days. Not that many club members want to work to promote something, but I was only thinking of traffic flow. The more people that might come up for that,
want to operate, then it's successful. You know, it's sort of not really quantity but quality, but it is nice if you get quite a few people that visit, and maybe some of the new hams that have never been to one and things like that. So yeah, I think we'd always, if you had to, depending on the location and of course the weather, you know, you could always say, hey, if you got anything to buy, sell, trade, you know, bring it along. And that's probably about the best we could do. There is going to be a ham fest. The Thousand Islands Club is having one, and you'd have to go look at their TIRepeaterClub.com website or the Facebook page, because I don't remember the date, but I think it's in May. So it's going to be sort of one in the North Country here somewhere. And, you know, I hope to be able to go to it, and I hope they have a good turnout. They should, because there's a lot of hams now. Jefferson County, they've done a real good job. There's a lot of hams, a lot of new hams, and pretty active. So I think it'll be, you know, people aren't going to come 500 miles to it, but I think it'll be pretty good. Over.
Yeah. And you know, field days are a lot of fun. I imagine some of the new hams would enjoy that.
WA2 comment.
WA2U, over.
Yeah, good to hear you, Dave. It's been a few days. Kathy, KC2YXN. I think it was the Rags Ham Fest. That was her Rags Field Day, rather. Yep, that's where she made her first. That's where she made her first contact. June. Let's see. I'm trying to think what she got her license, but it was at the Field Day, and that afternoon I went home and we threw together a piece of. Got a couple pieces of wire and an insulator and coaxial cable. I'm laughing because we put the dipole up in the backyard in clay. And I had all the parts of the dipole. I had the insulators and everything, but I didn't have anything to hold the end of the dipole up. So I went in the garage. You know, hams, you got to be resourceful. And I had a 1,000-foot spool. Well, it was less than that. Of a weed whacker line. So I took the weed whacker line and tied it to the insulators and got the step ladder out. We put up the, tied up the dipole between the two, the support guide cables for the tower. And, you know, that stayed up there until just a few days before we moved. I would have thought, well, the sun would, you know, would deteriorate, but had a lot of good contacts. The antenna was only up, what, a quarter wave on 20 meters, like 16, 18 feet. But, you know, the field aid provides an opportunity where people can get on the air for the first time, and they get a chance to look at different pieces of equipment, and it's a lot of fun versus a ham fest where there's a little bit of different pressure. So it can be a really fun event and very enjoyable, you know. So even with or without the mosquitoes, WAQ back over to net control.
Okay, John, yeah, it is a lot of fun. You know, I've never done one that's been really serious, you know, sort of pseudo-serious sometimes, you know, trying to be, you know, stay on the air and that, but I've done many other ones where there's three radios and nobody's talking on anyone because you're all talking to each other, which is, you know, which is fine as well. And, yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what I found for portable operation with the QRP rig, or I did winter field day a week and a half ago. I wasn't really on the ball with that and planning ahead properly, but I did go Sunday. I was up in Lake Pleasant. I did just drive the car. I went from noon Saturday to noon Sunday, so I got to go out a little bit. I was going to go out, get on the snowmobile. I said, oh, no, it's going to take me too long. I'll have half an hour to operate. I'm just going to get out in the car. So I went out in the car, drove up the top of the hill, got a good spot. That little drive-over base, I stick a push-up mast in it. G5RV Junior as an inverted V top, you know, the highest point is 18 feet or something like that. And made a whole bunch of contacts on 40 and a few on a couple other bands. But I really like inverted Vs. They're just so simple to stick up. You know, you throw a line over a tree branch or a mast like that, and they seem to work pretty good for a super simple compromise. So, of course, field day, you want to have the best signal you can possibly have. But we usually do pretty good without too much of an elaborate thing. I mean, never been at one where we put up 60-foot towers and beams. And although Will does, he's got a nice trailer, Daddy built trailer tower. Not 60 feet; it's only, you know, 25 or some. I don't know what the height is. We put the three-element beam on it. It doesn't take that long to put up. It's a big trailer, so it's heavy. It's not, you know, he doesn't have guys on it. He just has outriggers that come out, and it works nice. But field day is a fun time, and it's a good learning experience. And, you know, we've also done it, K2LML and I and K5YDR, we do this a couple of times in the summer. We look for some excuse to go out portable. Hamilton County has what they call the Hamilton County Family Fun Day. I don't know, it's the Youth Bureau or something, and they do that in the ball field and speculator. It's on a Tuesday or something. But we've gone to that for the past few years, and Bill's got a jury rig kind of 30-foot portable tower. It's aluminum, three 10-foot sections. They don't weigh. Yeah, and I timed it out. This bad one, the net control times it out. This is KC2WI, and this is the Black River Valley ServiceNet. We're looking for additional check-ins or comments. Over.
One cup of coffee for the evening, WATU.
Yeah, okay, this is KC2WI. I will make this the last call for check-ins, questions, comments for the Black River Valley ServiceNet. Over.
That's if we're kind of on the field day topic. Is anything WATU with a comment?
Go ahead.
I know everybody, you know, it's try to make these things kind of a learning experience if anyone's listening, and there's a lot of people who have been hams for years and years, but there might be people who are listening for the first time. But it doesn't always have to be all about generators either. It can be, you know, there's people that do it on battery power, I remember at our state, at the field day one time, people do it. George would appreciate this. The people that have done solar power. They've done solar power, wind power. And if you aren't able to get out of one reason, you can, you know, once for one reason or another, you can always participate from your home location or wherever you're operating. But there's a whole myriad of different ways people do it. And, you know, so generator is not always... A lot of people do that. I know that, for instance, I mentioned Salt City DX a little while ago. They, you know, they had the full legal limit amplifiers. They'd have one generator just to power the amplifiers on 240 and stuff. So it'll be something we'll have to revisit and talk about, but it's very timely because the time does fly by. People get involved with other projects and things, and then the next thing you know, they're not remembering it. So it's a good exercise in preparedness. It can be a lot of fun, and I've noticed now with the field days, a lot of people are working together rather than just one particular group, so I think that's what's happened even in the Syracuse area and some of the other areas where people get together and just, you know, they've got the FastScan TV going on now and things, so. So you got a lot of, I can see something coming up on 144.39, a lot of irons in the fire, WATU.
Okay, John, well, you know, you do not have to use a generator. You don't have to use emergency power. You report that when, you know, in appropriate class and all that. And the fact is, up in Long Lake, we don't really use battery power. Some of the guys do. But they don't. But you know, they're charging the battery with a charger plugged into the AC there at the pavilion, so that doesn't really count. And when I've done it, I've just plugged in. So you know, you if you want to get the most points and all that. And when we did it in Lake Pleasant, we didn't either because it was only two or three of us, and we said we have enough trouble getting all the other stuff there. We don't need to worry about. We all know how to use a generator. We're not proving anything, you know. And we're setting it up, and two or three of us are doing it and hoping a bunch of other people come, but those other people aren't really doing a lot to help. So we said we're going to limit what we do. So, yeah. I'd much rather do a combination of solar and battery than generator because I don't want to listen to the generator. Or if you do the generator, you just do it for a short period of time to recharge your batteries. And turn it off, and don't run a generator at midnight when you know some people are trying to, you know, sleep in their tent. Anyway, yeah, that's the least of the problems is the generator. But you know, always they're always available.